The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, a member of Denver Bible Church in good standing.
You are, yes. And we've had some great studies, Sunday school studies recently, and sermons, I shouldn't say that. Your wife had a fascinating comment about the sermon, and I was so thrilled because I don't speak Japanese.
Well, what did she say?
I don't speak Japanese, but I presented historical evidence for the truth of the scriptures. And Doug, I showed three Chinese pictographs. Now,
yeah.
Japanese is not Chinese.
Well, but it all comes from the same pictographs. All the kanji is
some kind of Hamitic.
It's very, very origin. Similar. Yeah, similar.
And so she came up to me afterward. I showed three Chinese pictographs where you can tell that the words come straight out of the early chapters of the Bible.
Yeah, especially the word for boat. That was really, really
the
cool.
Word for boat, which is a vessel, like maybe a vessel on a table.
Yeah, like a bowl or a pitcher.
A bowl,
yeah.
With the number 8 and the picture, the symbol for a mouth.
8 mouths and a vessel.
8 mouths to feed, and a vessel is their word for boat.
Yeah.
And then the word for devil and tempter, and how it's a garden and 2 trees.
Yeah.
It's just all stunning.
Great. It was great stuff.
So Takako came up to me and said, Bob, this is true also in Japanese. We have 2,000. We only have 2,000 pictographs, she said. Where China, they have a million.
Oh, yeah.
So she said, we have 2,000, and those words are among those 2,000.
Pretty cool.
So that was exciting. That was an exciting confirmation.
And Chinese being one of the earliest known written languages, you know, one of them.
Yeah.
Way back there.
Yeah.
Right.
And the Sumerians, if I recall, they had a god of the alphabet.
Yeah.
Now, we wouldn't have that today. It goes without saying. We don't think about the alphabet.
Right.
We make alphabet soup, but they had the alphabet god.
So it was a big deal
because
to come up with an alphabet.
And what that shows is that the Bible history is accurate, that just a few thousand years before Christ, that's when men had to devise a written alphabet because all the languages had just changed.
Right.
And so the alphabet god.
Good stuff. Folks can come and visit, by the way, Denver Bible Church. We have Sunday school at 9:30, and then we have fellowship time from 10:30 till 11-ish, and then worship, praise and worship, and then the sermon around 11:30. You should definitely come visit. We're at 72nd and Oak in Arvada, Colorado.
Yeah, and it'd be such a thrill if you came out and visited. And if you don't live nearby, that you just can't come to a Sunday night Bible study. We're in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And on Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school interactive and the sermon and wonderful worship. But if you can't come, you can enjoy these opportunities via subscription.
You can subscribe to the sermons.
Yeah, the sermons, the evening Bible studies, and you can get them on DVD or downloadable or MP3 CDs. So it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, speaking of Takako.
Yeah.
This is tangential, of
course.
Well,
I want to talk about one of your kids.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah. I'm kidnapping your son, taking him to Las Vegas.
Whoa.
We're going to Las Vegas.
Which? We have seven boys.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track. Nathaniel. Yeah.
My son.
Nathaniel's going to go to Vegas with me. And
I love that guy.
Yeah, we're going to go out there. But we're going to be working the whole time. No gambling, no shows.
Good.
We're just working.
Good. Vegas is a cesspool.
It's awful. Our last trip through, we drove around. We added probably 100 miles to our trip just to go around
Las
Just
to
Las
avoid
Vegas.
It.
Because we have a 10-year-old daughter now. You can't.
I'm waiting for some wife somewhere in the country to sue the mayor of Las Vegas and the city because of their slogan, "What happens here stays here."
Yeah.
So when some wife somewhere gets infected with syphilis or gonorrhea or whatever, HIV, then I think she has a neat opportunity to sue the city of Las Vegas.
She very well might have standing.
What happens here stays here?
No.
That's not true.
No.
Unless here is the judgment seat of God, unless they think that Judgment Day is going to be centered in Sin City, which maybe it will be.
Well.
Maybe that's what they mean.
It'd be the ultimate irony.
Yeah. But, Doug, I was looking for a great photograph of the Palouse River Gorge in the state of Washington, and online I found the absolute best at fineartsamerica.com, just the best of the best.
Okay.
A professional photographer. And so I thought, boy, we don't have the budget to license this, but let me write to the guy. And it turns out he's got a Japanese wife, and I told him about you and Takako.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I got that email.
And he was just such a gracious guy. And he said, "Don't worry, you don't have a budget for this. I looked at your website, your Real Science Friday shows, your list of not so old things."
Yeah.
He said, "It's just so interesting. Please feel free to use that photo."
Awesome.
Courtesy of fineartsamerica.com.
Praise the Lord.
So praise God for that, huh?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we have now just an unbelievably gorgeous photo, more evidence of young earth, of course, as the Bible says. Oh, Doug, speaking of our families.
Yes.
My boys, I just love talking to the youngest ones. Now, you're dealing with one of the older ones.
Yeah, Nathaniel's not nearly as fun to talk with.
No, and they tend to be cuter and more interesting when they're younger.
Absolutely.
At least boys. You have daughters. I'm sure they stay cute throughout.
Well, no, you always want to have like a two-year-old around. It's always great.
Yeah. Well, I just want to let you know, we talk a lot about science, of course, with the kids. And my 10-year-old, Dominic, he said this the other day. He said, "I think the earth weighs nothing."
That the earth weighs nothing.
And I said, "Dominic, come on. What do you mean the earth weighs nothing? Dirt is heavy. Mountains are made of rocks.
Yeah,
the oceans, water." And he said, "No, it's floating in space." I said, "Yeah." And so
floating.
Michael, who's 12, he said, "Well, how much does an apple weigh in space?" I said, "Well, an apple in space is weightless."
Pretty much almost nothing.
So the guys are arguing. They're saying, "Well, the earth is an apple in space." So in some sense, it doesn't weigh anything. It's weightless. And so we had to figure out, well, what if you put the earth on the surface of the earth? Then you could weigh it. But other than that,
how would you?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that they made that argument. So then Zachary, who's 14, we were talking about a conjunction between the moon and Jupiter. I don't know if you've been watching that in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's cool.
And Venus down below. And so he said, "You know, really, everything is in conjunction all the time because it's just your perspective."
It depends on where you're looking at it from.
Right,
yeah,
your frame of reference. And then the 12-year-old, again, Michael chimed in. He said, "Or nothing is ever in conjunction." I'm like, you kids are just too insightful. I have to speak to people my own age.
It's encouraging that their minds are working that way.
Isn't it fun?
It sounds like you're doing a pretty good job. I think they're going to land on their feet, those
It's
boys.
Enjoyable. I hope so.
Yep.
So, all right, Doug, we should be covering the news.
We opened up talking about Denver Bible Church, and we might want to stick with this Christianity thing. There might be a future in it. It's actually on the cover of Newsweek this week.
Oh, and it's horrendous. And you know how you can tell it's horrendous?
That it's on the cover of Newsweek.
Well, that and because it says something nice about Jesus.
Oh.
It says, this article by Andrew Sullivan says that we should embrace Jesus.
Is that what Andrew Sullivan says?
Yeah, and so you know it's going to be blasphemous because the only time they say something good about Christians as if they're bad Christians.
Right, right.
And only say something good about Jesus if it's in the process of blaspheming mm-hmm. him.
Can I just read this tagline because it says, "Forget the church, follow Jesus," is the title of the article.
Yeah.
"Christianity's been destroyed by politics, priests, and get-rich evangelists. Ignore them," writes Andrew Sullivan, "and embrace him."
Yeah, and you know, there's something good about that. Of course, Jesus warned the world about his own followers.
Yes, he did.
"Many will come, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and deceive many." But, Doug, this article begins praising Thomas Jefferson.
Uh-oh.
Why Jefferson? Was Jefferson a great Christian?
He was a bad Christian, now that you mention it.
They only praise, the only good Christian is a bad Christian. And we did a show years ago called "Don't Tell Kids Thomas Jefferson Was a Godly Man."
Yeah.
Sort of directed at David Barton in a way. But, Doug, Thomas Jefferson created what's called the Jefferson Bible.
Yeah.
And he took scissors to the Bible, and he cut out everything that he described as trash, everything that was like a dunghill. And he said that the Gospels were full of vulgar ignorance, superstition, fabrications, and that they were written by charlatans.
Mm-hmm.
And so he removed everything about the person of Jesus Christ, and he kept some of the teachings that he thought were acceptable, like "do unto others as you would have them do unto you."
Yeah.
But he made God in his own image. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, of course,
that
Newsweek
could be what Andrew Sullivan's up to.
Yeah, Newsweek is willing to accept Jesus Christ on their terms,
mm-hmm.
but not on his terms. Jesus said that you have to love me more than your own parents.
Yeah.
So Jesus, the central part of his message was about himself.
Yeah.
He was the message.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
wow.
Newsweek's going to hell.
Newsweek on its way to hell.
Don't they call it the Daily Beast?
I think the Daily Beast is just a number of people who've been laid off from Newsweek in the last year or two.
And the Daily Beast from the pit of hell.
Well, what's the deal with that, the Daily Beast?
It's just from the pit of hell.
You've got to have a lot of nerve to name yourself something blasphemous.
666.
It's like, you know, when this guy, Steve Jobs, when he picked this apple. I mean, that just takes a lot of nerve to put something blasphemous right out there in God's
with
face.
With the bite out of the apple.
I never had
reminiscent, of course, of Genesis.
Yeah.
Doug, the Bible describes not only so many of the ancient Chinese pictographs, and by the way, only the ones up to the Tower of Babel.
Mm.
After that, there is no longer a record in the Chinese language of the rest of Genesis, because that's when the nations were split.
Right.
Wow. And Darwin and all the Darwinist predictions about the origin of language, they've been disproved by atheists and evolutionists, linguists. So it's exciting to be able to look at the world and understand the history of the world. Unlike Thomas Jefferson, who said that when he cut up the Bible, and this is in Newsweek, and this is at kgov.com/Jefferson, he said, "It was as easy telling the good from the bad scriptures was as easy as distinguishing diamonds from a dunghill."
Ew. So he was basically calling a large portion of the scripture dung.
Yeah.
That's not going to go over well on Judgment Day, Mr. Jefferson. He may get some credit for the Declaration of Independence, but I think it's going to be overshadowed by calling the Bible dung.
It's not
going to be good.
I don't think he's going to get a lot of credit for the Declaration of Independence, personally.
No.
I mean, Jefferson thought this. He thought, if the government is unrighteous, then you get some guns and you go and you shoot people.
Yeah.
That's what he thought. And that is intensely immoral, to teach people that if the government is wicked, you go and kill the king, you kill the governor, you kill the mayor, kill the city council member.
Yeah.
It's intensely wicked. It leads to anarchy. American Right to Life has a great article on abortion vigilantes, and we learn from the scriptures why that is completely invalid.
Well, the French Revolution proved that it's completely invalid.
Yeah, and many of our founding fathers recognized it for the bloodshed that it was, the violent bloodshed and immorality, but not Jefferson. He was sort of fanning the flames of the French Revolution.
Hey, that brings up this article, something actually from the news. There's a new report out. This is from the Institute for Homeland Security.
Yeah.
It says that if terrorists set off a 10-kiloton nuclear device a few blocks north of the White House,
A few blocks north. What are they telling them? Go ahead.
I'm not sure how they came up with that particular.
Well, maybe it's the geographic center of the wagon wheel of Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Anyway, such a nuclear explosion would be pretty survivable and would not destroy Washington, D.C.
What are they trying to discourage, the Iranians or the North Koreans? I mean, what's the point of releasing this?
So this is,
guys, you need more than a 10 kiloton bomb if you want to do it.
I guess so. It's a bizarre article. Anyway, one of the authors is a retired Air Force colonel.
Yeah.
And he said a nuclear explosion in Washington, D.C., quote, "It's not the end of the world." Unquote. That's what he says in the article.
That reminds me of when Mars attacks, I have to say. Doug, I was on a plane. I think we were going to Israel, I think. They're showing When Mars Attacks, some Hollywood comedy sci-fi.
I remember it. Yeah, funny.
And at one point, the Martians blow up the Capitol.
Yeah.
Everyone on the plane cheers. Everybody. And in the movie, they showed people at home watching on TV on the news, and they cheered. Everybody cheers. So I don't know if this guy is sending a back channel message to the Iranians saying you need a bigger bomb. I don't get the point of this kind of a story.
Just not such a great location. I'm not sure what. Anyway.
It's a fresh start. I just don't get it.
It's not the end of the world. You have to be optimistic in a situation like that.
I don't get it.
Something like that.
And also with the North Koreans working, of course, as they have been on their nuclear weapons
potentially
program,
launching a ballistic missile test this week.
Ballistic missile. And, you know, it is possible, of course, that a missile could hit a country with a nuclear warhead on it.
Yes.
And kill a lot of people.
Yeah.
Liberals have always been against an anti-missile defense shield.
Yeah.
They've been against it.
Don't get
that. And it's mostly the fault of the conservatives because we sold it wrong.
We did?
Yeah, we're trying to say that we need a Star Wars-like missile shield to protect innocent human beings, men, women, and children, families.
That's a problem?
That doesn't appeal to liberals. We should have been telling them that an endangered species cannot survive a direct nuclear hit.
That's right.
So we need a missile shield to protect the spotted owl.
They would have all been on board.
They would have.
Yep.
They would have increased funding.
Strictly a marketing gaffe.
Yeah.
So anyway, if anyone out there in Iran or North Korea was thinking about doing something like this.
This is designed to discourage them. Your bomb is not big enough.
Now listen, Bob, I was out of town when the management at the Denver Broncos football club apparently had a rash of insanity.
Yeah.
And they traded away Tim Tebow for, I forget the guy's name.
Out with the new, in with the old. Have you seen that graphic by Erica Turmson?
Probably the funniest.
One of the founding elders of Denver Bible Church.
That's one of the best visuals I've seen on the internet in the last 10 years.
Out with the new, in with the old, a picture of Tim Tebow, and then off to the side is, what's his name? Oh, Peyton Manning.
Grandpa Manning.
He's on the field. He's horizontal. And it says, I've fallen and I can't get up.
We got to put that on the website.
Hey, we have a lot of listeners who love Peyton Manning. And I wish Manning only the best.
Yes.
Up until he gets defeated in a championship game by the Jets.
The AFC championship game.
I heard that you were calling for people to curse when I was out of town.
Well, no, I was just asking the question, should the Broncos be cursed? Will they be cursed?
And somebody called in and said that the Broncos will lose to the Jets in the Super Bowl.
Something like that.
And I realized that would have to be a trans-dispensational thing because they're both in the AFC, right?
Yeah, right.
So, but that could happen.
You know,
if it did happen, it'd be proof of something.
Most of the people in my circle of friends, I mean, we're Tebow fans, but we don't necessarily know that much about football.
No.
I don't even know what AFC stands for.
The All Football Confederacy.
Okay.
No, wait, what is it? No, the American Football
Conference.
And then the National Football Conference. So anyway, but they're both in the AFC. But may the Broncos make the championship game.
Yeah.
And be defeated by Tebow with the Jets.
Yeah, that would be great.
With the Jets. That would be fun, right? Yeah. If you could script it, that's how I would script it.
Well,
But you said they wouldn't make the playoffs.
I wrote a poem that did involve a curse upon the Broncos that I wish down upon them.
Now, people have to listen to your show to hear the poem.
You can hear the curse. Yep, you can hear it. It's less than a minute long. It's brief, and it basically I hope that their playoff schedule is empty unto the third and fourth generation and other things like that. But I was genuinely depressed. When I came on the air last week when you were gone, and I come in the studio and you're not here, so I'm kind of bummed. And then the Tebow thing and then the Romney thing, and I was genuinely depressed. Mm. Yeah, but I'm feeling a lot better now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we've pre-ordered our number 15 Jets jerseys for the girls. You can't even get them for adults yet because they sold out the minute they – it was ridiculous. You can't even get one for adults.
Now, that's a good idea. I could get one for one of our kids for his birthday ahead of time.
I'm thinking maybe to wait because the Jets might deal Tebow.
No.
But my wife pointed out, well, that would make the Jets jerseys extremely rare. So anyway, I'm not sure. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but we pre-ordered our jerseys for our girls.
They just 2 weeks before signing Tebow, they re-upped their quarterback for $40 million.
Yeah.
And then they took Tebow, and I think they have four quarterbacks or something like that. The Broncos got Peyton Manning, who injured his neck.
Yeah.
He's potentially one sack away from retirement.
Well, either way, he's three seasons away from the playoffs. I mean, he hasn't been to the playoffs, I think, in three seasons.
Hmm.
Playing or
he missed the season from his injury.
Last time he played, his team was 8-8.
Hmm.
And that was at the apex of his career. Tebow did that his first year. Hmm. Anyway, just to point out the contrast.
Yeah.
I don't want to depress anyone.
No.
We need to move on from this topic. Because it's frankly depressing to think that these
Broncos
people,
were so stupid.
They're dead to me. They're dead to me. They don't even exist.
John Elway, it's his lust.
I don't know.
It's his envy. Tebow was outperforming John Elway, was more beloved than John Elway, was a far greater draw.
Oh, yeah.
Ratings went up dramatically, not just a little bit, but dramatically.
For a team that wasn't exactly a threat to win the Super Bowl.
Right. And all the 316s and all the NFL records and the college records. And Tebow was the fastest sportsman in history to become the number one most favorite professional sportsman in the country.
Yeah. Well, and they can never take that away from us. We'll always have 2011, 2012, right?
Yeah, that's right. All right, so we should really be doing actual news.
I know. I was going through trying to see if there was anything interesting in the news that wasn't just eye roll, you know,
eye roll radio, like Obama is evil.
Well, let's talk about Obama. Obama, he came out and said basically that if the Supreme Court overturns Obamacare, it would be an unprecedented act of judicial activism, something like that.
That's prophetic, not on his part, on BEL's part.
How would that be?
Doug,
prophetic?
Years ago on this show, I began saying that the liberals are the ones who are now arguing that the court should not be an activist court. And all this judicial activism and saying 1,000 times over that Roe v. Wade was a decision of seven justices in black robes.
Yeah.
And I would argue over and over that we have to stop presenting it that way.
I remember now.
Because that's just process. Mm. And the liberals are just as happy as the conservatives to say we don't want activist judges.
Since now the liberals pretty much have almost everything they want.
They got so much of it.
So you got
so
much.
They want the Supreme Court to follow the process and not be activists.
So they're going
to
take the advice of Republicans for the last 20 years.
Right. And so it's such a scam.
It's got to be embarrassing.
And so as more and more states follow the process and they decriminalize homosexuality, and they promote homosexual marriage even.
Yeah.
They're doing it by the legislature, and the governor's signing it.
Well, there's only one governor who has both legalized homosexual marriage and government-funded abortion. There's only one.
Oh, that was Mitt Romney.
That was Mitt Romney.
You're right.
Now,
the Republican
homosexual
hero.
Homosexual marriage is on the march, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's happening, and we have now state legislatures that are voting. In Colorado, they're trying to pass civil unions. Doug, we have now state legislatures that are legalizing, it's not moral, it's not valid, but they're doing it, legalizing homosexual marriage, passing the House, the Senate, and then the governor signing it. And so all those decades of conservative Christians complaining about the process and that we were not following the process. Oh. That was so destructive. It's such a distraction. It's so irrelevant.
Hmm.
What? As long as you pass child killing by a two-thirds majority or whatever, none of it is relevant.
Right.
It confuses the matter of right and wrong.
Yeah. And it's kind of ironic this week to see the hopes of the Republicans and the conservatives hanging on the decision of those justices.
Of those justices. And Obama saying, we don't want activist judges.
Yeah.
And that's what the pro-aborts have been saying now for years that we've pointed out here on Bob and Yurt Live. The liberals now are against activist judges.
Yep.
So it's bizarre.
Right. One quote from Van Jones. This is from Real Clear Politics just a day or two ago. Asked if President Obama could lose the black vote, Van said, I think if President Obama came out as gay, he wouldn't lose the black vote. He said, President Obama is not going to lose the black vote no matter what he does. That's Van Jones.
You know, that's interesting on a number of levels.
Yeah.
Right. In one sense, he's insulting all black Americans.
Oh, yeah. Like it's like it'd be bad.
No matter
to
what
come
he does. He could be a misogynist.
Right.
We could have video of him aborting a child. Whatever. He could be funding terrorists.
He could do all kinds of things.
And they'd still vote for him.
Yeah.
So that at one level, it's a racist comment.
Yeah.
But at another level, it says something about his view of homosexuality in blacks.
It's almost as if subconsciously he knows deep in his heart that coming out as a homosexual would be a bad thing.
A negative thing.
But he's saying even that wouldn't cost Obama the black vote, which is, what is he saying, that black people are incapable of breaking, like Obama's got a spell on him or something? What's up with that?
Yeah, that's all tragic. It is amazing how human beings tend to interpret things based on their perspective. Mm. Like when you ask people, say they're at a playoff game, NFL playoff game.
Okay.
Were there bad calls made by the referees?
Yeah.
Yes, there were. Were they mostly against your team or the other team?
My team.
Well, the bad calls were against our team. And the fans on both sides both have the same perspective.
That's true.
Right? And the tragedy in Florida, the Trayvon Martin shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
And so many blacks see it as unquestionably a murder was committed. And so many whites see it as unquestionably a rush to judgment coming to a conclusion without the facts.
Yeah.
And so it's a great tragedy. And that's another example where Barack Obama did what he can to fuel the flames of racism with the race baiting of Jesse Jackson.
Which is why I thought a year ago that the Republicans could put up a potted plant against Obama and beat him. But it looks like they're about to choose someone who's not even up to that caliber.
That's right.
They're going to
If we end up with Mitt Romney, he's a few steps below a potted plant. For those conservatives who don't want to waste their vote, they're going to have to vote for Obama.
Yeah. If you don't want to waste your vote, vote for Obama. By the way, folks, if you want to gather personhood signatures, get down to Mardell's Christian Bookstore.
That's my wife, Cheryl's been there.
All right.
Cheryl's been getting signatures.
Lots of openings.
And shop at Mardell's.
Yep. Go to personhoodcolorado.com and find out where you can go gather signatures.
All right. Yeah, join my team. Cheryl and I have got a great team. God bless you guys.
Would you like to study the Bible but don't really know where to start? Bob and Yart's seminar on hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, will help you to study and understand the Bible on a whole new level. Hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, is available by calling 1-800-8-NYART, or you can get the MP3 CD or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.